charge here. That's what the rules are.
Welcome to Walkers and Talkers, episode 194. Jamie, we are so close to 195.
I thought you were going to say 200.
No, that for us, that could be a year away.
No.
No, we're very close to 195, though.
Yes, we are. So one episode away.
Did you do the math by yourself on that one?
All by myself.
Well, that was Jamie from Light FM. If you're new to the podcast, welcome aboard. I'm David Brody from Elvis Duran and the Morning Show. And we are the Walkers and Talkers podcast, back in for 2 weeks in a row.
Woo! Look at us go.
And I'm going to guess 3 weeks in a row, because we have to do part two of the first episode. Yes. I mean, it's not really part two, because almost every episode is continued the next episode.
Exactly.
They just used part one and part two in the titles. We have a little bit of news, which I'm going to give you. There's really no Norman Reedus news, so Jamie doesn't have any stories for us today.
Oh, man. Okay.
So there's that. I can watch episode two now through AMC Premiere, but I haven't yet. I like to watch it on Friday nights.
Yeah.
This way I can relax Friday night. The week is over.
Chill out.
Right. And then I don't have to, you know, then it's such a long wait for the next episode. And I don't want to watch I can watch every Monday, I guess, the second one, roughly, or Sunday night late.
Yeah.
But I like to watch it close to when it airs, because I can't hold a secret very long. And if anything big happens, I want to be able to tweet about it like two days later when everybody else is, tweeting about it. And The Walking Dead was trending on Sunday on Twitter, which it doesn't always do. A lot of people had a lot of comments about the show, so
I'm sure.
So let's talk about some things that I picked up along the way. Maggie's group, according to a couple articles I saw, is called The Wardens. WARDENS, The Wardens. I don't know. I don't remember her saying that, but maybe she did. Because the article said that she said she referenced that in talking about the place they lived. I'll have to go back and watch it. You don't have to tweet me necessarily. You know what? Nah, I'm fine. I'll find it. I'm going to go watch the episode again. But I believe they're called The Wardens. Angela Kang explained in an interview with Insider.com how they chose to give Michonne's comic story to someone else. Now we're going to talk about the episode. So spoiler, here we go. You saw that Yumiko sees her brother, Tommy, T-O-M-I?
Brother.
Is it brother?
Okay. Yeah.
There's a picture of them on the wall, and then in the picture it says, "Have you seen my sister, Miko?" I guess that's what he calls her. Now, in the comics, and we've talked about this before, I believe, it's Michonne who sees a poster of, because she goes to the Commonwealth in the comic books, sees a poster of her daughter, Elodie. She says, "I'm at the bakery. Come see me if you know anything about my mom." And so she's reunited with her daughter. Obviously, she doesn't have any kids left in the TV show, because allegedly she had a son and their son was killed. So she has a daughter in the comics who survives and is at Commonwealth. And in the comics, Michonne is the lawyer. So they made Yumiko the lawyer. In the comics, Michonne goes on to be a judge, because in the Commonwealth, which we're all going to learn, they value what you did before towards what you're going to do if you become part of their society, which is why they're asking so many important questions like, what did your parents do for a living, and how do you wipe your ass?
How many times a day do you poop?
Right. All the important questions. So, Yumiko's the lawyer. We learned that in season 10. She was Magna's lawyer at some point. Angela Kang also said at one point they considered Connie for the role of reunited and feel so good and lawyer. But she left to go film Marvel's The Eternals, which is coming out soon. And so she blew it. Let's see. The other name that is drawing a lot of attention that was on that wall, the name Heath was on the wall.
Oh, I saw that. And I actually jumped up.
It was shown twice. Now, here's the thing. We remember Heath, right, from his one season or two half seasons.
Yep.
And then he disappeared on the bottle episode with Tara in the middle of season 7, I believe. And not only did we not really care that he disappeared, Tara never mentioned it when she got back to Alexandria. No one asked about him.
So true.
No one ever mentioned his name. Even the people that lived in Alexandria were like, "Hey, what happened to Heath?" I guess they were all like, "Oh, he got a job on 24. So he..."
Oh.
So, you look on, there was a video on YouTube. And it was talking about, it was breaking down the episode. And they mentioned the Heath thing. and that Heath is going to come back, or Heath is in the movies, and a relative of his is in Commonwealth, or there's some, you know, it's a nod to Heath being in the universe. Whether he showed, and they were so excited, oh my God, I can't wait, I'm going to cry when I see him again. Really going to cry? He was barely on the show. Nobody cared about him.
Oh my God.
In the comics, Heath was a big character. On the show, he was nobody.
Wow.
And that's why he left. Oh my God, if he's in the movie with Rick and they all get reunited, I'm going to cry. I wrote, seriously? What are you going to cry about?
I wouldn't cry over that.
Who cares? Obviously, people care because it's a loop. It's a plot hole, like Morales coming back. Speaking of which, Angela Kang was asked if she's going to bring other people back, like Heath or Pamela, Georgie, rather. You know, the woman who helped Maggie?
Yeah.
And she said, not necessarily. Yeah, she said, you know, who, by the way, everyone thought was Pamela Milton, the governor of Commonwealth. But now we know that's not the case because they cast a different woman as Pamela Milton.
Yes.
Anyway, they said, with notice, unless it adds to the story, there's no need to bring certain people back. She didn't specifically say her, but if there's anyone else that you saw and they went away and like, whatever happened to that? So, yeah, oh, I'm going to cry when Heath comes. I'll be so emotional. Come on now. Come on. It's like if you cry if Diane gets killed. Like sooner or later, Diane's going to get killed. The archer.
Oh, yeah. At that point, I didn't even realize her name. That's how much I'm invested.
At that, you go, oh, she was on the show for a long time. You're not going to care.
She has been.
If Scott dies, who's in real life?
Sonequa
Martin Green.
The Green.
Yeah, her husband.
Husband.
You're going to go, oh, he was on the show for like 7-8 seasons. Oh, and then you're going to... But oh, I'm going to cry when Heath comes back. Right. Listen, guys, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I'm going to cry when Heath, I'm sorry. I apologize, but I don't apologize. Come on. He's a good actor. Corey Hawkins is a good actor, good looking guy. You know, he looked like the character in the comics.
Yeah.
But he maybe had like 10 words.
If you want to see him, he was in the movie In the Heights. He had a big role.
Oh, well, there you go. Corey Hawkins. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen.
And he can sing.
There you go. Fear the Walking Dead season 7 pictures were released. There were also photographs from World Beyond, but, you know, who cares? Fear the Walking Dead, season 7. The only picture I really cared about was Morgan and Grace and the baby all wearing radiation suits.
Oh, boy.
Walking through what looks like just complete devastation. Hmm. And somehow there's a radiation suit for a baby on the submarine.
Apparently.
I have to call baby radiation suit bullshit on that one. So, and how they survived the radiation... They interviewed the writers, the two guys who write Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And they said they did a lot of research on surviving a nuclear blast and surviving radiation. And that tells me they're just going to avoid it. Because Morgan and Grace and the baby were outside when the bomb went off and had to have been hit with nuclear radiation.
How could they not?
All right. And the fact that Daryl Dwight and Sherry are in basically a little basement...
A
storm shelter, you know, and you're going to survive radiation leaking through. Come on now. I think they're just going to go, you know, and just write it off like they survived. Don't read too much into it because we didn't when we wrote it. Lazy writing. Lazy writing is what it is. It's like writing Maggie with 1G. All right. So Acheron.
Acheron.
The only thing I could find online is that it's a Greek river.
Oh.
Right. So I thought, well, the only thing that explains that, a Greek river, in the case of this, maybe part two, I don't know what happens in part two yet, is maybe the water floods the tunnel?
And that's what I was thinking, the big storm happening.
Right? Yeah, it's a river in northwest Greece. So, I don't know.
Negan referenced the water line.
Right. So, I don't know. Maybe there's some Greek mythological story where there were bodies in a river. I don't know. All I saw was it's a river. I didn't see any connotation to it that there was a big story behind it. So I guess we'll find out. Anyway, the episode starts off at the military base that they teased last season in the bonus episodes when Daryl found the military guy, a couple of soldier guys.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, there's bodies of soldiers all laid out on the floor, which you think they're all dead, right? I mean, obviously they're dead. Turns out they're walkers that were sleeping. Now, I have to call slight bullshit on this.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. They're called lurkers.
Yeah, so Angela Kang on Talking Dead explained that in the comics, there are roamers and lurkers. Now, lurking, you'd be like lurking around a corner. You'd be still standing up, but I would call them sleepers. But Roamers and lurkers. Lurkers lay down when they're exhausted, and they wake up if you wake them up, but otherwise they rest.
They're dormant.
Okay. So I would imagine in the world of The Walking Dead that maybe the person's physiology, or it's random, your DNA as to who's roamers and who's lurkers. But we haven't seen that many lurkers in the show, which she pointed out.
Never.
Maybe there's one sleep. You know where there were some lurkers? With the alarm clock. When they came to the field.
Yes.
And they threw the alarm clock into the field and the walkers.
And they all popped up.
Yeah. Whichever show that was. I don't remember. It's fine. They were all sleeping. Okay.
I think it was Gabriel and Aaron.
Yes. Yeah. Was it? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Right. That's when they found the burned out house.
Yep.
Right. They were looking for locations. That's very good, Jamie. Very good.
Thank you.
They were lurkers, I guess, because they were all resting in the fields. But you're telling me that the entire military base was all lurkers?
That was hard. That was hard to believe.
That's lurker bullshit. There's not one roamer. There's not one walker walking around.
There's not one roamer.
Every one of them lied down. None of them lied down on top of each other.
They were all perfectly spaced.
Right. And they all had their guns next to them. Another thing. With all those automatic weapons, I understand they're 10 or 12 years old. And I'm sure if you know about guns, there must be some reason why they don't all fire. But wouldn't you try to grab them just as importantly as the food?
Hell yes. Carol tried to get them and somebody looked at her and was like, mm-mm. I would, if I were Carol, be like, mm-hmm.
Right. And if they're lurkers, they're going to go back to sleep. So just come back the next day and grab the guns.
That's what I
especially if the, yeah, thank you. Again, if the Reapers are out there and you have an enemy, why in the world wouldn't you grab weapons so that, you know, you can kill them?
Exactly. I would go back.
They're walking around with axes, you know, like swords and knives. I didn't see any of them with automatic weapons.
Because
if they had automatic weapons, you wouldn't be able to beat them. So you have a military base. There had to be grenades. There had to be other weapons there.
There had to be everything there.
A few of the group propel themselves down from the ceiling. These are survivors of the apocalypse who, you know, they're repelling themselves down from the ceiling, an opening. I guess those, and of course they break, but we'll get to that. So yeah. Maggie, Rosita, Kelly, Magna, and Lydia. It was all women, right?
All women, yes, because they said that they sent the latest down there.
Right. The floor is covered with sleeping walkers. They find crates of military rations, MREs. We've already seen in the trailer that these walkers wake up and they lift Carol out last. Thanks, trailer guy. So at this point, I'm like, come on, I already know what happens. Of course, one of the cables break as they're going back up, because that's what happens. As they're lifting food up, Dow grabs the food, but then his arm gets caught and blood lands on one of the walkers. I don't remember where we saw this. Another TV show or movie where you think they stop anything from falling onto something bad, and then it's a water droplet that drops or blood. There was some other show or movie where was it? Was it in a Marvel movie where the blood drops and wakes everybody up? What was that? Oh my God, what was it? Where the drop of blood, I'm not, if you know what it is, you can tweet me. Tweet the walkers_talkers account. So that we don't get bombarded, but go ahead and tweet at the walkers_talkers account. But there was something in the past couple of years where a drop of blood, possibly, or sweat drops and then ruins everything.
Oh my God.
Sets an alarm off or something, or wakes up something.
I think I remember in 28 Days Later, a drop of blood drops in someone's eye and they turn, but that doesn't wake up like a whole.
Yeah, and it's not recent. I didn't see that movie, so it wasn't that.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't that.
But nice. Good going. There you go.
I try.
Yep. Okay. So they wake up, of course, from the blood that drops on the face of one of the walkers, who wakes up growling. And now they're fighting them with slingshots and bows and arrows. And you're like, that's not going to last. There's 100 of them.
I know, and I'm thinking, and you need those arrows back.
Right. So Carol and Maggie find some automatic weapons, and that works. They start mowing them down. They lift up the four of them one at a time. So they got a couple of guns, I guess. Everyone is up except Carol. She's about to clip herself on, and she sees a box of food. She runs for it, and she grabs Daryl's knives, and then they pull her up at the last second.
Saved by the bell.
Right. But did you see when they were pulling her up, and the walkers were on the ground below her? It was such a bad green screen.
Oh God! Really? I didn't notice.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh,
it was also.
You always
bad.
Pick up on that stuff.
That particular one, the lighting was in such a way where you're like, oh, it's so bad. All right. Oh. That's where the credits hit. When we come out of the credits, we go back to Alexandria, or what's left of it. It's been burned out by the Whisperers. Daryl is greeted by Dog, Judith, and RJ.
So cute.
Very cute. Negan comes out to get a bag at the exact moment that Maggie is standing there. Awkward. Herschel, little Herschel, runs up to Maggie in his little baseball cap, his little Glenn baseball cap.
So cute.
Then more of Maggie's people arrive, including a very large man named Duncan. Duncan. So, it reminded me of Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, yeah.
May he rest in peace, as they say.
Yeah.
Only because he was a large, you know, man of color, and his name was Duncan. And I was like, oh, Duncan. Oh, yeah, Michael Clark Duncan. Maggie's people look at Negan and say, is that him? Is that the guy? Is that him? Yeah.
They said it pretty loudly,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they didn't really care. That's the guy, right? He's going to kill Glenn. Father Gabriel talked to everyone in leadership about how there's a shortage of food, and everyone is too weak to rebuild, and they got to go get some food. Now, Maggie says, well, there's plenty of food where they used to live with her group in a place called Meridian. There's crops, animals, and one of her people says, but now it's gone. Then Maggie tells the story about she and Agatha and Frost and Duncan. These are good names, right?
Yeah, Frost.
Frost, Duncan, Agatha. And her guy's name is Cole, by the way. Cole.
Yes.
Right. But no relation to Cole from Fear the Walking Dead, who's Mips.
Not Mips.
She said they were on a mission leading walkers away when they heard screams back at their camp. They got back too late. Most of her people had already been killed, and the rest of us got away with their lives. She said the people that did it only come out at night, and by the time you see them, you're dead.
Ooh.
See, that's scary and all, but we've already seen a trailer where she and Negan run into them, and they're not dead. So don't say, like, as soon as you see them, you're dead. How would you know that? Because if you've seen them, you'd be dead.
You're still here.
That's a great line, but it can't be accurate. Because somebody has seen them, and you're not dead. They ran into that guy in the bonus episodes who blew himself up. He's dead.
Yes, he is.
Now, he killed a lot of people, but not all of them. She says there aren't many of them left. We just need to take back Meridian from them, and then we'll be fine. We're just going to take them back. Just like when they were going to take out the Saviors. Remember that?
Casual.
We're just going to take out the Saviors in that satellite building.
Take them out.
Yeah, we don't know that they have hundreds of Saviors. We just have to take out a couple. There's not many. There's only like eight in the poster, right? That you see in the they keep showing there's eight of them.
Yes.
Right? That's probably all there are, right? They haven't recruited anybody else. Maggie's sure of it. We know they added Leah. So that's one person. Rosita says, it sounds like a suicide mission. And Daryl says, we don't have any food, so we're going to die here either way. You know, in other words, if we stay here, we're dead. We're going to go after them, we're dead.
I mean, he's right. We need food.
Everyone else says they're in, except Aaron, Carol, and Rosita. Carol's not in? Carol's not up for a fight?
I'm shocked. She's one of the best fighters.
Yeah. About a dozen of them head off, and of course it's pouring rain, right? Because if the road doesn't have a tree in the way, then the weather has to get you.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, here's where I have to call ridiculous writing and bullshit. Okay? You're going on a long trip to an unknown area to fight and kill dangerous, dangerous people. Okay?
Yep.
Why? I know why they wrote it into the story, but why and like why would Daryl bring Dog?
I had so many questions about
you
Dog.
Don't know the really terrain. Upset. You don't know the weather. You have dog food? You have something to feed him with?
You don't have food for yourself. How are you going to feed Dog?
So it occurred to me that it's two reasons to bring Dog. One, so he could run under the train, right? Because that creates a plot point of Daryl going under the train. So that because Dog was there to lead him. And it gets Daryl away from being there to save Maggie. Now, he may save Maggie afterwards because Maggie may run to where she saw Daryl go.
That's what I was thinking.
So therefore, you have a reason for Dog to run under the train. You also need Dog because Leah gets Dog back, right? Because you've seen the picture of Daryl, right? And he sees a Reaper with Dog.
Yes.
Who's clearly Leah.
It's the creepiest picture, by the way.
Yeah. So you didn't bring Dog. You brought Dog for script purposes, but not for reality purposes. What, is he going to jump on someone, right? He's going to win the fight for you?
No.
No, you get the dog stabbed to death.
Oh.
As it is, you know, I'm not convinced Dog's going to survive this, but he will if Leah takes him. Okay. Ooh. So then it's raining. They decide they need shelter. Did you notice where they were standing when they agreed they needed shelter?
At the metro station.
Right, but there were buildings everywhere.
Oh, yeah, there were.
They couldn't go into a building. They wanted to go somewhere.
Exactly.
They go, we need shelter. We got to sleep. And they're like, we got to keep moving. So she decides to go into the subways to keep moving because they don't want to rest. Even though they could have gone into the building and had some rest. What's the hurry? Are they running out of food so badly that they have to run?
I know.
By the way, Negan is with them at this point. I didn't think they would take Negan, but it turns out he knows the city, apparently. Somehow he knows Washington, D.C., and he has the train lines memorized. He has the train lines memorized for the D.C. area. Now, there's not trains in D.C. like there are in New York, and I've got them fairly well memorized, at least the routes I take and the crossovers and the transfers, a decent amount of it. But he's got it memorized. Anyway, he says, I don't think this is a smart idea to go into the trains, and she doesn't give a shit.
She doesn't care what he's saying.
Right. He says, so he knows the subway rail system, so he tells them which way they should go and where they should switch lines. So he's like, take the blue line, switch to the red line at this train station. He knows where everything is. He says to Daryl, hey, man, can I talk to you for a minute? And Daryl says, what are we, buddies all of a sudden?
And then he just left him in the dust. And then everyone pushed him. Did you see everyone like thrusted their shoulder into him like, ugh.
Right.
Like,
which is weird because I know they're not buddies, but they did overthrow the Whisperers together. They did kill Beta together.
Yeah, there's got to be some camaraderie there.
And when I'll tell you what again, if you look for little things in stories that mean something, that should have meant something. He says we're not buddies, right? He hates him, right? We're not buddies. But when the scene where Beta's dead, by the way, spoiler, where Beta is being eaten by the walkers.
Yeah.
And Negan says, holy shit, do you know who that was? And Daryl says, nobody, right? Or just some asshole.
Yes.
Right? When he runs off, he pats Negan on the belly like, come on, man, let's go. Hmm. You don't pat an enemy on the belly.
No, you don't.
You just run and hope he follows you.
Exactly.
You don't give him the old, hey, man, come on, let's go. Come on, we're in this together. So that's the part where I go, you're going to be a dick now because Maggie's around? No, I can't be friends with you, man. My chick's here. My girl's here. My old friend is here.
My old friend. My OG friend.
Right. Exactly. I'm looking at the group and I'm thinking there's definitely a couple of red shirts in the group.
Oh, for sure.
The old guy and the kid.
The kid almost got killed by the post walker.
Right, right. The people that you don't know who they are, they're red shirts.
Red shirts.
And there's a young kid. I'm like, the kid's dying. Something bad's happening to the kid. Negan notices the water line on the side of the tunnel and says they must flood often, which is a pretty smart thing to notice. He starts giving rational advice, and Daryl says to him, if you think you're leading, it ain't working. Right? In other words, nobody wants your opinions. Do you think it's foolish if he knows something? At the Commonwealth, all of the prisoners have hoods on their heads. We saw the four of them captured last season. They're being interrogated. Eugene is the first. Mercer is there in his orange armor. He's a badass-looking man.
Yes, he is.
A man and a woman sit at a desk very well dressed in suits, and they interview him, and they tell him he's going to go through an assessment. And he says, well, what if I don't pass the assessment? And they say, then you'll go through reprocessing.
That sounds scarier.
It does. They each ask one of them, the four of them, what their parents did for a living, what they know about the... Oh, so, because as I talked about, they care about your place in life.
Yep.
Yumiko says she's a lawyer, which we talked about. Ezekiel says he took 3 years. He has 3 years of credit at North Carolina. And she says, you didn't finish? And he says, well, you see, I didn't. And they cut him off. They don't care. He didn't finish college. They do not care.
Yep. They don't care why.
Now, this is something that they made it look impressive. But it's not impressive to me. So they start asking them all to list every zip code they ever lived in. And Yumiko says, how can anyone be expected to know that? And cut to Eugene, who rips off every one of his zip codes where he ever lived
and the dates.
Now,
he would, though.
Jamie, how many places have you lived?
Like four.
Okay, I've lived in
five.
One, two, four. Four places. I don't know how many places Eugene lived. Maybe a lot. But you could name the zip codes and the addresses of the four places and the phone numbers, couldn't you?
Yeah, because some of them were in the same city.
And you know what years they were? It just seemed odd. Like, you should have some idea when you moved. Unless you're 70 and you're like, I don't know, I've lived in 100 places.
I don't know.
The woman says to them about the money they had and how many bowel movements they had per day.
Weird.
She says, what did you use to wipe with? Now, I'm not sure if they're nosy. These are sanitation questions, or they're trying to get them to slip up and say, oh, we have toilet paper back at home.
Yeah, that's true.
She also asked Ezekiel if he had a history of cancer, And he said, mm-hmm. no. And she said, what about that lump on your neck? Right? He's like, what are you lying for? And he said he's had that since childhood, which is a lie.
Ooh. Yeah.
Right? They ask how they ended up at the rail yard. They all told the same story, that they'd been wandering around for years. They ended up someplace with a radio, made contact with Stephanie, pretended they were part of a large community because they were scared to admit they were alone. And the two of them keep asking and grilling them for the location of their settlement. Where's the location of your settlement? And they keep saying, we don't have one. And they clearly do not believe them. Ezekiel turns and asks Mercer if he's in charge, and Mercer says yes. Ezekiel says, do you think I fear you?
Oh, God.
And Mercer says, you look scared to me. And Ezekiel starts talking trash to Mercer, saying he's probably nothing more than a former beat cop. And as he's yelling, he starts coughing. He goes into a coughing fit, and he coughs up a little blood, which they notice, which is a clear indication he's probably got something wrong with him.
Probably lying
about the cancer thing there, Ezekiel. Oh. Later, we see the four of them at a table. They're inside a cage eating, and Ezekiel was bragging about how he told Mercer off. And Eugene says, I think we should stay here and be honest with them. They can help us. Maybe we can get help from these people for everyone in Alexandria. And the rest of them are like, no, they're going to invade Alexandria and kill everybody. We don't know these people. And Princess goes up to a couple in the next cage and says, how long have you been here? He says 4 months, and she says 9 months, and he says, oh, I forgot because of the reprocessing. And Yumiko gets very nervous and says, what do you mean? Right? Like, did you forget 5 months?
Yeah.
Mercer walks into the next cell, grabs a man, and says they're taking him to reprocessing. So now Eugene looks terrified and says, okay, I agree with you guys. We got to go. you guys are right.
Okay, you guys are right. Let's go.
Maybe we should go. Yeah. Down in the subway, they come upon a ton of bodies in plastic bags that are all taped up. They don't know if they were dead before they were in the bags. They don't know anything. Daryl decides to poke one, and it moves. He kills it.
Can we talk about, why did you stick your finger in there? Why didn't he just kick it with his foot?
I don't know.
I jumped 10 feet.
Did you?
I did.
So they notice that on this particular one, and maybe all of them, the throat was slit, and so deeply the voice box was gone because the walker wasn't making any noise.
Yeah.
Which is possible that these are also all lurkers, right? They're in plastic bags, but maybe, I guess they can't breathe. I don't know if they need to breathe, but because they live underwater, but they're all dead. But they must have been killed as walkers, right? Because they're dead. They look like they turned. But when he woke one up, it was a walker.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely all walkers. I think they were just kind of
lurking. Or not lurking.
Not lurking, but lurking.
So the whole episode, they're all lurkers.
Lurkers, basically.
What I don't understand is, why did they need to kill all of them? Couldn't they have just moved a couple and made a path to walk through?
That's what I thought. Or walk along the little rail thing on the side.
Maggie says these people were killed during the fall, I guess, of civilization, and not by the Reapers. I don't know how she would know that. How does she know when they were killed?
I don't know.
And if the tunnel floods, how are all of the bodies in one place neatly next to each other?
You'd think they'd be all over and floating up on the platform.
Right, or on top of each other.
Yeah.
Negan says they might be walking into a mass grave that's still in use. In other words, he doesn't believe they've been there that long. He believes that someone's been putting these bodies there recently. I mean, if the bodies don't have, the bags don't have dust on them, I guess that it's easy to, you know, I don't know. I'm calling body bag flooding bullshit.
All I know is I wouldn't want to keep going down there.
Negan says, I'm asking if you are sure all of them were killed during the fall. And Maggie ignores him because it's Negan.
Oh, boy.
And says to her people, take them all out, make a path. We're not stopping. So the young kid, of course, not paying attention, and a giant, fat, disgusting walker stands up.
Gross.
Wasn't in a bag, just stands up. The big one, of course, not in a bag. Guess didn't have a bag big enough.
The giant one.
He attacks the kid. Negan pushes the kid out of the way and kills the fat bastard, who reminded me of the well walker.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I thought the same thing of the well walker in season two.
Yeah. So Negan has him up against the wall and he's struggling. Nobody helps Negan. Nobody helps. Nobody cares. Now, they made it a point to say they needed him because he knew the city. But yet they don't want to save him from the walker. So you clearly didn't really need him, which we'll find out later. Maggie tells the group after that to pay attention so that we don't miss any more of them. And Negan says, pay attention. That's it. That's your big plan.
Oh, God.
Anything else we should be paying attention to? And then Alden says, I'm this close to slapping a gag in your mouth. And Negan says, you're going to get up on your tippy toes and try it?
this doesn't go well.
So Daryl tells them to shut up, cut it out, and tells Negan that you didn't give a shit about that kid. And he says, no, Maggie doesn't give a shit about that kid. She's been a dictator since we left. She doesn't listen to these people. She doesn't listen. She just tells you what to do. We don't know if this tunnel is a way out. Whoever or whatever killed these people could still be down here. Has the thought crossed anyone else's mind? Exactly. It has. So this is a death march, and you, Maggie, are the goddamn Pied Piper.
Oh, God. I was sweating. My God.
Right. And then he says, you don't need me here. You guys, have none of you read a goddamn map? You don't need me to tell you which way to go. I don't know where they'd get a map from of the tunnel system.
Yeah.
You know, they might be laying in a holder after all these years. Negan says, if you want to kill me, you only brought me here to kill me because you didn't want to do it back at Alexandria. He said, if that's the way you want to roll, that's fine, but not me. I'm out. I'm not going to walk into a death trap. And the kid next to him says, Negan's a dick, but he makes sense. The gray-haired old guy agrees, right? He's in the back with the kid and says, he wouldn't be down here. We shouldn't be down here. And Agatha says, just let him go. All he's doing is slowing us down. And that's what Maggie says. We need him. He knows the city. And Negan says what I said before. So you brought me down here to be your damn tour guide? You can't read a goddamn map? He goes, you brought me here to die. If I don't die here, she'll do it. At Alexandria or at the private or in private or here in the jungle. He says to Daryl, I thought you were in on it, but I know you're not based on the glazed look in your eyes. Father Gabriel says you're paranoid. And Negan says, yeah, but I'm right.
Oof.
So he says to Maggie, so what do you say? Let's get it done right here, right now. Because I am not going to let you drag me through the mud and put me down like a dog. At this point, I thought he was being the new Negan, right? I thought he was being like, you know what? I'm trying here. And then he says, not going to let you put me down like a dog. And then he says, like Glenn was.
No.
And, well, you saw the episode, right?
I know I did, but I was like screaming because like, what are you doing? Right. What are you saying?
Daryl punches him in the face. Now, on Talking Dead, Jeffrey Dean Morgan revealed that when he read that in the script, he called Angela Kang and said,
hilarious.
I don't think I should say that because it's going to erase all the goodwill I've been building up.
Yeah,
I don't think I should say that. And she disagreed with him. And he said, after seeing it and knowing what comes next, he understood it. Okay.
Makes more sense.
Negan's on the ground after Daryl punched him. Maggie steps up to him with her gun pulled and says, we're moving fast because our kids are hungry and I'm in charge because that's how people voted. She says, as far as killing you, it's always on my mind. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong about me because you aren't. The woman who left 6 years ago is not the one standing over you now. There's a little bit of her still in me, and that's the only thing keeping you still breathing. I don't know how long that's going to last. Keep pushing me, Negan, please.
Oof.
Now, how does she not kill him when he just made a joke about Glenn?
Now, I swear to God, he'd be dead in my book.
Right. Now, I know you need him. You need him to fight. And maybe you're hoping the Reapers kill him or he kills a couple of Reapers before he dies. So I know you need him. I guess you can kill him at any time. All right. Let's talk about the Commonwealth. But before we do, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Dan Fogler, Luke on The Walking Dead. And you're listening to Walkers and Talkers with David Brody and Jamie.
Anyway, back at the Commonwealth, the four of them make a plan and Princess is spaced out. Staring off into space. Yumiko says, snap out of it. She says, no, no, no. Those two are flirting with each other. And she knows their names. And Eugene says, you can tell them apart? They're in armor. Like, what? How, what are you talking about? She says she was listening the whole time that they were in the cart with the hoods on their head. She heard everything. She's been watching them, and she has all their names. She's, like, rambling off all kinds of statistics about them. Their names, what they're into, what they don't like about each other, who's mad at who. She got all the gossip.
She had all the tea.
Now, would you be like that if you were had the your hands tied and the hood on your head? Would you be listening? Or would you just be like just trying to pass the time?
I would be trying to listen, but it would be hard to get all her details.
Yeah, I would be listening because that's the way my mind works. I don't know if I'd remember everything.
Same. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So she says she's been watching them and the romantic couple goes on breaks every 6 hours. They disappear for 1 hour and the second one leaves right after them. And then shortly after, the other one leaves. She goes, they probably spend most of the time taking off that armor. And that's when a light bulb goes off on all of them. Like, take off your armor, right? Because they're having sex without the armor.
Mm.
So, okay. The next scene you see them in, Princess and Eugene are walking down a hall with two guards behind them. A third guard comes out of a room for no reason and says, where are you taking those two? Now, as they walk down the hall, which, by the way, I don't know how they knew where to go.
That's what Princess probably knew.
Yeah. They walk down the hall and they show the guy that was taken for reprocessing. Mercer standing over them. The couple, the couple you saw before where the guy didn't know how many months he's been there, they're in another room, right? And they go, we're taking them for processing. And then the two of them pretend they're mad at the guards, right? They're like, yeah, get your hands off me, right?
Reprocessing.
Reprocessing, right, okay, yeah. So it's clear that it's Eugene and Yumiko in the armor.
Yes.
Right? And it's Princess and
Ezekiel
pretending to be prisoners. It was very much, very Star Wars-like. Very Star Wars-like when Luke and Han put on the Stormtrooper armor.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
And pretend that they got Chewbacca as a prisoner. Right? That's definitely a callback to that. So here's where I have to call some bullshit. Okay? They were in a cage, right? They're in a prison. They're locked up in a cage. Simply knowing that the couple is going to go have sex, how did they get out of the cage to go where they don't know where they went to have sex, find them, take the armor, not have them hear them taking the armor, put the armor on, knowing for some reason how to put the armor on.
Exactly.
Find a hallway. They had no business knowing the hallway. I don't know. I know you're supposed to suspend disbelief, but it should still make sense. So I'm calling Luke and Han Stormtrooper-esque bullshit on that whole scene. Okay?
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I'm like, how the hell did they get out of the little lunchroom cage?
Right. They walk out of a side door that isn't locked, which seems weird to me, and they find a huge yellow bin of confiscated dollar bills.
Yep.
Which I think is outside, so why wouldn't it be covered? Then they come to the wall of photographs, which in the comics is the, I think it's the Wall of the Lost. Now, in the comics, the Wall of the Lost is right by the entrance to Commonwealth. And so when Michonne and the other people that were with Michonne in the comics for this section of the story, they go right up to the board because they want people coming in to see the board. Now, I saw someone on Twitter, I think, or one of the videos I watch, asked the question, if this board is so important, why is it buried in an alleyway in the dark, right? And I'll tell you why that is, where no one's going to see it, right? It's there because it has to be there, so when the good guys sneak out, they see it and don't leave because of it.
Mm.
If the board was in the front entrance, they would never be able to get out, right?
Yeah, they would never see it.
So instead of Yumiko seeing the picture when they first got there and cooperating, they've rewritten the story to where they want to escape, and they can't escape. They've got to go back because Yumiko's brother's there. So this Wall of the Lost, which is supposed to be very important,
she doesn't want to leave now.
Is buried somewhere, and it's only there as a plot point. You know, I'm surprised Dog wasn't there.
Oh.
Just because he needed a dog in the scene.
Yeah.
Princess stops to stare at it. What was there, about 1,000 pictures on there? Maybe?
About.
And somehow, in about a minute's time, she spots the picture of Yumiko and her brother. And she says, Yumiko, you have to come over here and look at this. It's Tommy, and I'm looking for my sister, Miko. 1,000 pictures on the wall. And, of course, the little Heath note. But of those four people, first of all, we're assuming it's the only Heath on the planet, right? Could be another Heath. Could be someone lost a Heath candy bar, but it's Heath.
Heath bar.
And there was a drawing. Were you able to make out the drawing? Was it dreadlocks? So I read that it was a drawing of Heath or a drawing of a man, but I don't know if it was Heath or not.
Oh, it was, I don't remember.
But it wasn't a picture.
It wasn't.
Right? And you know what I'm wondering? I know they want to work with Corey Hawkins again. But what if you bring back Heath and it's a different actor?
Oh, don't do that.
And you couldn't
put
the picture up because it wouldn't make any sense. Because if it's a picture
like
Corey, then the new actor wouldn't make sense. If you put a picture of the new actor, then
it wouldn't make sense.
You wouldn't think it was Heath. You're like, that guy's not Heath.
Oh.
They could recast Heath. It was such a minor role.
It was, but still.
And Corey Hawkins has said he wants to come back, but it doesn't mean he has to be. So I'm just saying. So they all go back in. Now, again, they go back in, right? They decided not to leave. How do they get the armor off? How do they get the armor back exactly where it was to the couple having sex, where they don't notice it was moved, and then sneak back into their cage?
It's not possible.
No. Somebody explain that to me. Explain it to me. You can't.
And now they're just sitting there like, do-do-do, nothing happened.
Right. We'll just go back.
Nothing happened.
Yeah. Back in the subway, they're still killing all the bags of walkers for some reason. Again, I don't know why they don't just walk past them. They're in bags. They can do you no harm.
They're sealed.
It wasn't like the military guys where they could get up.
No.
They're dead. Stupid. They call for Roy and Gage, the old guy and the young kid, and they're both gone. Right? The two guys in the back. Either they wanted off, they wanted to get away, like they said Negan was right, or somebody grabbed them from behind and killed them. But they took their supplies and their extra ammo clips, and nobody noticed. So the two people most likely to split took, they were the ones in charge of the ammo and the food?
My God.
Are you kidding me? How do you give the two wimps most likely to leave?
The two red shirts.
You give them that. Why wouldn't everyone carry ammo?
Carry your own damn ammo, yeah.
Oh, my God. Those two guys are the human tree in the road. I know. If they have ammo, they'll be able to kill the Reapers.
Yeah.
So let's take away their food and ammo. How can we do that?
Oh, my God.
We'll just have the old guy and the young guy run off. They're going to run off by themselves back to where? Alexandria? They can't go back to Alexandria. Because once the group gets back, they'll kill them.
Oh, they're dead meat.
So they've given up society. They've what have they been through with Maggie already? They've been through hell with Maggie, right? Now they're gonna run away?
Oh my God!
Now they're gonna say, you know, Maggie, we don't trust you as a leader anymore. Gotta go. So one of them says, I think Agatha maybe says, well, I don't know. It's because of asshole Negan. It's his fault. He scared them off. Then Daryl hears something coming from the other end of the tunnel. It's a herd.
Oh, my God.
The herd has a clear path to walk through because they move the bodies out of the way. However, if you look at the bodies, they're not moved to the side. They're just spaced out to walk between them.
Yeah.
Did you see any walkers trip over them?
None.
Right. So the walkers find a way to walk around like a puzzle. I love the show. But there was just so many plot holes.
They'd be all tripping all over each other in real life, if there were such a thing.
Right. So the walkers are now coming from where they were, right?
Yes.
Right? They're not coming from where they're going because... Now, so did the Gage and the old guy and the kid, did they run into the herd of walkers?
They could have. I mean, Negan already saved the kid once.
So they start running away from the walkers and they run into a train. Which had to have been up ahead, right?
It had to be. Where else would it be? Yeah.
Right. So that means the walkers were coming from where they were. So this herd of walkers was following them and they didn't hear it the whole time? In a tunnel where there's echoes?
I was going to say the echoes. Come on now.
Jesus Christ. Unless they cut the throats of every walker and they were barely making any noise.
I feel like the herd, though, those ones were making sound, though.
So they were making sound, right. But maybe some of them had, I don't know. So they try to get into the train car, but the door is locked.
Of course.
So they bang on the windows, and of course they can't get in the windows. The windows don't open on the train. So they have to climb up on top of the train. Okay?
Yep.
They are all carrying crowbars, and none of them uses a crowbar to smash the glass. They don't even show you trying. Like, show me trying that it's bulletproof glass, that it doesn't break. Make an attempt.
Yeah. Try it. Just one bang.
They all start climbing on top of the train. Now, I know Maggie's a strong leader, but in what world does the woman go last?
Thank you.
I know she's the leader, and she's telling everybody to go up, go up, go up, go up, be the hero. I get it, but I would have thought somebody would have said, you know, Maggie, you're the leader, but she's like, everybody run up there. She's the leader. I get it. Okay. Daryl's under the train at this point. Why? Because dog ran under the train.
Dog. Mm.
So Daryl had to climb under the train, which I'm not sure I would go under the train. It could crush you.
I'd be like, treat, come here, treat. Get him out.
Right. Daryl tried to lift the dog onto the roof of the train car, right, at first.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get the dog to know not to fall off the side of the train car? That was your plan?
God.
That was your plan. Okay. Negan and Maggie, the last two. Negan goes up first, then Maggie. Maggie is struggling to get up. Why is she struggling? There's a ladder.
Because they were pulling her feet.
Yeah, but at first she couldn't get up high enough. And if you had the ladder, you'd pull yourself from the ladder.
Yeah, hoist, Maggie, hoist yourself. Hoist.
Now, hoist. I know. I don't think there's a ladder on subway trains that goes all the way to the top. So I have to guess that people just grab the top and pull themselves up. But again, I say,
you're right.
How is Dog going to do that?
Oh, Dog can't. He doesn't have thumbs.
So she says, Negan, help me. Negan, help me. Now, did everybody else run so far ahead? Wouldn't they have just stayed at the top of the train car until everybody got up? Where would they have run to? What's the hurry?
Over the edge. Yeah, what's over there? Where are they?
Once you're on the top of the train car, you're not in danger anymore. So Negan sees her and she says, Negan, help me. And for a second, you thought Negan's going to do the right thing and redeem himself. And he looks at her.
I for sure thought that.
He looks at her. Now, he doesn't hate her, but he knows she wants him dead.
Mm-hmm.
So he leaves her to fall to the walkers.
Oh my God.
So Negan left her, but then in the trailers, we've seen them fighting together. Again, thanks, trailer guy. You've already shown me too much. I know Maggie doesn't die. You've already shown her fighting in the woods with Negan.
I know.
Dumbasses. You know, like Marvel would never do that.
No, they wouldn't.
Marvel's trailers tell you nothing. Marvel's trailers sometimes put in scenes that aren't even in the movie.
What?
They film scenes for the trailer that aren't in the film to give you misdirection.
Whoa.
So, and I don't think The Walking Dead does that. I don't think the scene with Maggie and Negan in the woods never happens. Because that'd be brilliant.
I don't think they did that.
All right, before we break down Talking Dead, or as Jamie likes to call it, The Talking Dead, let's just take our last break real quick. And I'm going to play an ID from an old cast member that we got to interview.
Oh.
And you're going to say, why? Why are you playing this old ID of this person who hasn't been on the show in a long time? Who basically nobody cared about either when she died. Certainly not her sister. But here's an oldie but a goodie. We'll explain why we're playing it in a minute.
Hi, this is Emily Kinney, Beth on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to David, Brody, and Jamie on the Walkers and Talkers podcast.
Okay. That was Emily Kinney before the commercial break. We'll talk about her in a minute. We'll explain why we played that. Chris Hardwick, you had some Chris Hardwick news.
Yes, he and his wife Lydia just announced on Instagram and Talking Dead that they are expecting a baby.
Yes, they're expecting a rich baby.
The sonogram
showed a rich baby.
Now, he was just like making it rain in the uterus.
Now,
there.
If you don't know, yes, Chris Hardwick is probably very wealthy. He has a nice career. He does stand-up comedy, makes a lot of money doing that. He's had like 5 television shows. But his wife, his wife's last name is Hearst, as in one of the richest families in the history of America. If you've ever been to California, I think it's San Luis Obispo to Hearst Castle. That's the Hearst family.
Wow.
Billions. So I don't know how much she's particularly worth, but I think she's the heir to part of the fortune.
Wow.
So they rich.
Yep, they are.
So that kid, if he's healthy, or her, she's healthy, God willing, will be born into money.
Lots of money.
About to get some money. Angela Kang's on the show. Big surprise. It's on everywhere.
Shocker.
So we talked about her talking about the roamers, lurkers, and turkers. Roamers and lurkers, excuse me. By the way, I've noticed something about Angela Kang. First of all, when she's on interview shows, she ums a lot. A lot.
She does. She always looks so nervous.
She's very nervous. So she's like, so the walkers, they're in the scene. And she does yeah a lot. And I'm not finding fault if that's what you do.
She's so cute.
But she must do a lot of interviews and a lot of talking. And usually that's from nervous people. And so I guess she's still nervous. And when she does interviews, she says like and kind of a lot for no reason. So I read an interview where she said, I'm really excited about next episode, and I'm hoping that people kind of watch it and enjoy it. No, you're just hoping people watch it and enjoy it, not kind of
watch it.
Right. Don't throw kind ofs in for no reason. I talk about that in the Brooklyn Boys a lot. People throw in kind ofs and sort ofs. Like cable news does it a lot. They'll go, there was sort of a riot. No, there wasn't sort of a riot. Or there's sort
there
of
there was
a,
or there wasn't.
They go, there's sort of this feeling of, nope, there's a feeling of it. It's not a sort of. There's sort of this crowd. Nope, there's a crowd. There's kind of this. No, okay. All right, anyway. Listen to the Brooklyn Boys. For that kind of comedy.
Yes.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan says he called Angela Kang twice. Once about saying the Glenn thing, and the other about leaving Maggie at the bottom of the train,
so
letting
funny.
Her fall. He's like, I don't think that's a good move. That's not going to help me. That's going to make me look like a bad guy again. He said Angela calmed him down and explained where it was going. And he said, it totally makes sense. I get it. But he did not want to do those two things originally.
No, he did not.
Did not. Anything else from Talking Dead stand out to you? Oh, I'm sorry. Michael James Shaw. He's got Popeye arms.
Man, he's... Yeah,
Mercer.
He's a big dude.
He's a very big dude. And apparently he was a fan of the comic books. He cursed on live television.
He dropped the F-bomb.
So I think Daryl said shit earlier in the episode. But then they asked him how he likes his armor. And he said, I asked how he likes his mohawk. And he says, I fucking love it. Or something like that. Now I got to mark this episode explicit.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
Explicit.
Damn it.
So Chris Hardwick said, damn it, if you can't curse one time to explain how excited you are about your mohawk, it's Cable.
Hilarious.
So he did curse on live TV and they bleeped it afterwards. It was like, I fucking blew it.
Too late. Beep, missed it.
Yeah. So there was. Listen, you can do a live show with a slight delay. But apparently there was not enough delay that the guy timed it right.
Yeah.
So there you go. For next week, they showed a scene of Yumiko and Princess yelling at a guard. They're yelling at and they asked to speak to someone who's in charge. And then Princess says, I demand to speak to the manager.
I love her character. She cracks me up.
She's fantastic. So that's next week. Or if you have AMC premiere, you may have already seen the episode. Next week on Talking Dead, Josh McDermott, that makes sense.
Yep.
Lauren Cohan, that makes sense. And I talked about it a little while ago, Emily Kinney.
Woo, Emily's back. Wow.
So I hope they address the fact, and I'm going to tweet Chris Hardwick to address the fact that up until like last season, maybe, when people pointed it out for four years or whatever, that Maggie never mentioned her dead sister.
Ever.
Never mentioned her dead sister. So I hope she says something like, hey, I'm sorry, I missed you.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see them together. But Emily is more, I'm sorry, spoiler, Beth is dead. She's most absolutely dead. But maybe, I can't see why. She could come back in a Tales of the Walking Dead episode. But is there anything worth seeing about them at the farm?
I mean, she was so young. Like, what would it show her in school? I mean, there's not a whole lot of backstory
right.
So there.
Maybe she has a new album out that she's promoting. You know, or she's just bored.
She can sing.
Or she needed the $200 for going on the show.
Oh. Oh,
you know what? Remind me. I got to ask Mips how much she got paid for being on Talking Dead.
Oh, you get paid for that?
Yeah, you get paid for TV appearances. Absolutely.
Oh, I didn't realize they got paid for Talking
Dead.
Yeah,
you probably get like a couple $100. Yeah. I mean, they might do it for, they might waive the fee or donate it, but you do get paid for talk shows.
Wow.
Yeah, even though you're promoting something, you do get a little something.
I
a little parting gift.
That.
Well, maybe you got a gift basket. Anyway, Mips, Sebastian, again, who you know him as Cole from Fear the Walking Dead,
yep.
Formerly of, he's dead. Spoiler. He and I are will be in fantasy football again in 2 weeks, so very excited.
I know you guys do that every year.
My star-studded celebrity fantasy football league with him, me. I guess I'm not really a celebrity.
Yes,
and then,
you are.
And then, nah, no, stop. I'm known.
You,
I'm a celebrity.
You
no,
are.
Stop.
You
I'm,
are.
I'm known. I'm known by people. I'm not a celebrity.
That means you're a celebrity.
No, it doesn't. No, it does not. No, that means you're celebrated. I'm not celebrated. Celebrity means
I celebrate you.
Oh, then I'm a celebrity. Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, Sebastian Sozzi, Sozzi, who's my buddy. We've talked about him. We've had him on the podcast. He's going to be on NCIS Los Angeles, I think. I think he put up an Instagram that he's filming for that show.
Oh,
so
awesome.
I said, are you playing a cop? And then I said, because he plays cops in a lot of things. I said, please don't die.
Oh,
because
my gosh.
He dies in everything.
I know.
He died in Superman Dawn of Justice or Superman versus Batman, whichever one he was in. He died as a drug dealer. Spoiler. He died on Blue Bloods, I think. He died on Fear the Walking Dead. Not for real, then
Poor
for
guy.
Real. Yeah, he's died on a lot of shows. So
oh, yeah, you're right. It wasn't for real, and then it was for real.
Right. So I told him, I go, don't die. Now, I didn't get the impression like he got cast as a starring role. He said he's working on NCIS Los Angeles.
Awesome.
So I was like, good. Maybe he'll have a couple episodes. But he didn't say like he got a role. So I'm hoping he gets a role.
Yeah.
Maybe it turns into something because he's a good actor and a good guy.
He definitely is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, there you go. We're going to try it again here. We'll try very hard here.
I'm scared.
Okay. Jamie, by the way, did you ever listen to the end of last week's episode?
I'm so embarrassed I didn't.
You really need to. Go listen to it.
Okay.
Go listen to it later. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
I'm sure you guys, because you listen in order, right? Like the Brooklyn Boys, you have to listen in order. You guys, you listeners, you already heard it. You already heard it. You already know. By the way, Shout out to all the people who tweeted at us some very funny things about our last podcast episode. I apologize, but the people that we mentioned were very excited. And then if I can find them, we got a bunch of tweets of people saying, like, thank God. They were so excited. Jessica Scruggs, very excited we're back. Marcus Cheney wrote, for the people. Sarah S. Wolfley 79, you're back!
Oh, yay.
She put up a meme of Kermit the Frog clapping, yelling yay. Janovic, who's a huge Brooklyn Boys fan, sent a nice tweet out to Mike Southmaid, who I told you is now listening to the Brooklyn Boys. So he welcomed him to the Brooklyn Boys officially.
Wow.
Again, if you haven't listened to the Brooklyn Boys, there's room on the bus. Get on that thing. Start with episode zero. L4DY, which I guess looks like lady. That's Naneki 52. My apologies. I've been checking the page like a stalker. Now I don't feel like a big nutcase, just a little one. I appreciate you checking whatever podcast platform.
Yeah.
You should set yourself up for alerts.
I get alerts. Yeah, you get a little push notification.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys listen on iHeart and sign up for a subscription. Here's the weird thing. It's a glitch in the system that we've been complaining about over at the Brooklyn Boys camp. You don't always get notifications for every episode.
That is true.
So here's what happens, and it's the dumbest thing. If three podcasts release before the email and or the notification go out, it only notifies you about the last one you signed up for, right? So if you signed up for Walkers and Talkers, How Stuff Works and How Stuff Doesn't Work, and you signed up for How Stuff Doesn't Work last, then when all three release on the same day or day and a half, you'll only get a notification saying, click here, How Stuff Doesn't Work has a new episode. Or if you have an email, the email will say you have a new episode, but if you open the email, you'll then see all the episodes. So don't assume, because you didn't see a notification, that we didn't put an episode out.
Yeah.
Same with the Brooklyn Boys. Brooklyn Boys, like clockwork, we put an episode out every Wednesday night. And then people go, do you have an episode out? I go, yeah, we tweeted it, we Instagrammed it.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get a notification. That's why.
Okay, that makes sense.
They didn't want to bombard people. Like, if you follow 40 podcasts, I'm like, well, but they lined up for 40 podcasts, so tell them. They didn't want to send out 40 emails. I said, well, can't you make the notification separate from the emails? I don't know. They're working on it.
Yeah.
So I apologize. But if you're hearing this, you already know that there's a new episode.
Yes.
Okay. Jamie, are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's time.
What time is it?
Well, I'm not sure now, because the new Negan would not speak this way.
Oh.
But since the old Negan may or may not have abandoned Maggie, I feel like he would, because he said he would shut this shit down. That was after he killed Glenn, wasn't it?
Yes.
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
Right. I told you I would shut this shit down. No exceptions. Okay. It's time.
What time is it?
It's time to shut this shit down. Nicely done. That's your best one ever.
You know what I did?
What you did?
I'm a loser. I pulled my headphones away so I didn't get thrown off.
Smart.
I'm sorry, because I knew I was going to F it up.
Yeah, well, you effed it up. You weren't even close. But all right, no problem. Oh, you got all silent. You're like, did I really have
it
up?
I'm sorry. No. I thought I did.
No, you nailed it.
Okay, good.
Good. Don't stop recording. You stop recording it? Don't stop recording.
No, I'm still recording.
And don't edit this part off.
I won't. I promise I won't.
You liar.
No, I swear I'm still recording. It's still going.
Okay, don't edit anything. Just edit off the front crap.
I'll just edit off the front stuff.
Okay, fine.
Okay.